2012, a 19-year-old man from Washington State named Dakota Guerin was charged with stealing a rare coin collection worth at least $100,000. After Guerin had completed some part-time work for a woman living north of Portland, the woman reported that her family coin collection was missing. Her collection included a variety of rare and valuable coins, including Liberty Headquarters, Morgan Dollars, and other coins dating back to the early 1800s. Initially, Guerin denied any involvement, claiming that the police didn't have any evidence against him. But then he started spending the coins at face value, unaware of the coin's real worth. He and his girlfriend paid for movie tickets using quarters worth between $5 and $68 each. Later on that same day, they bought pizza with the rare coins, including a Liberty quarter that was worth up to $18,500. The kid didn't realize what he had. He didn't appreciate the worth. He didn't appreciate the true value of those coins. He had them in his hand, and he didn't understand. How often is that true of us? We don't realize the value of what we already have. We don't appreciate the worth, the true significance of what we've already been given. Only seeking something more. Only seeking something fleetingly better, something different. And in the process of spending our lives for the next thing, we miss out on what's really important, what's really valuable, what's really meaningful. It was right in front of us all along. We search for something more, something new, when all along, right now, in our lives, are some of the most important, most valuable moments. And we might be allowing them to slip away. Friends and family, husband, wife, parents, children, church, Jesus. Today we're going to look at two ways that we don't appreciate the worth, the value of the things that we already have in our lives. So please turn in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We'll be reading about Jesus at Martha's house. Martha and Mary. Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Father, now today in these precious moments, where we sit at your feet, humbly beneath your word, that you would teach us the one thing that's necessary. In Jesus' name, amen. Our passage today is a passage about priorities. Jesus is teaching a lesson here to everyone, each one of us, men, women, and children, about what he thinks is most important. It's a lesson that all of us need to listen to and learn. We live in a culture that values doing over being, that values accomplishments over maturity, that values achievement over learning. In our work, there are quotas to meet. There are higher percentages of productivity that we have to meet. The focus is on higher sales or to build more widgets. It's all about doing, accomplishing, bigger, greater, more, more. Our families can become like that. They become places focused on achieving, on serving, on doing your part. We have a question in our culture that resonates with this attitude. What have you done for me lately? Sadly, often doing over being is the focus of church as well. And even more challenging, often doing over being is a reality in our own hearts towards Christ. We can tend to think that serving, helping, doing is what's most important at church. I come to church to serve. What the church wants from me, first of all, is my service. We can tend to think that that's what God really wants first too, that God really wants my service. We can falsely think that the main reason Jesus saved us was to serve him, that his first priority is us doing for him. Now, of course, the church wants and needs people to serve. The Bible challenges us to serve at the church. The church would cease to exist if we didn't serve one another and serve our community. And of course, Jesus wants us to serve him, to live our lives as a living sacrifice for him. The question isn't, are we to serve? The question Jesus addresses is serving the first priority? Does he want first your service? Or does he want first your heart? Does he want first your deeds? Or does he want first your love? Does he want first your action for him? Or does he want first a relationship with him that's vibrant and growing and real? Most often in our workplaces, we work to earn our status. We work to earn a greater position. It's easy for us to fall into that trap, thinking that that's what God wants for us too. We can start to think that the first thing God wants for us is to earn, to accomplish, to serve, to give. But instead, as we read, he looked lovingly at Martha's heart, and he invited her away from her service and into him, into relationship with him, to love, into his word, into his teaching. In this encounter with Jesus, we learn that what Jesus wants first of all, and what is of his highest concern, is who we are becoming in relationship with him and learning from him before what we do and how we are serving. God's first priority is our commitment to him rather than our achieving for him. God's first priority is for us to sit at his feet, to listen, and to learn, rather than the busyness of serving. God first wants our worship, then he wants our service. God first wants our hearts, then he wants our deeds. He wants our service to flow out of our worship. When we turn that around and put our service over our worship, we put ourselves, our priorities, our focus, our fulfillment first. Our service often becomes about us accomplishing. We can think that we're honoring God through our actions, but in reality, our hearts might be far from God. We can deceive ourselves into thinking that God wants first of all our actions, when in reality, we all know deep inside of us that the first thing he wants is us, our hearts, our lives. This passage is not picturing inactivity versus activity. It's not picturing service versus worship or action versus becoming a monk. Right? The point isn't that one is better than the other. The point is that one is a higher priority than the other. Serving and worshiping are not rivals. But for both of them to be done best, there's a priority. There's an order. Jesus in our passage today is serving and worshiping him, listening and learning from him, from his word. That's the fountain from which a life of service to him is fed. God is first of all concerned about who we are, our connection with him, our relationship with him, then on who we are and our service for him. I see Martha had the wrong focus. It seems as you read the scriptures that Jesus stayed often at Martha and Mary's house. They lived in the town of Bethany, was just on the other side of the Mount of Olives, just a short mile, less than two from Jerusalem. As you put the stories of the Bible together about these two sisters, we learn that they had a brother as well. His name was Lazarus. Yeah, it's that Lazarus, the one that Jesus rose from the dead after 4 days being in the grave. It seems like perhaps that Martha was the eldest, as verse 38 mentions that it's her house. It also seems like Martha had an amazing gift of hospitality. We see that throughout the scriptures as it talks about Martha. She loved to have people over to her house. I'm sure that she especially loved to have Jesus stay at her house. She was a gifted servant. She attended to Jesus and his disciples' needs with skill and fervency and heart. What she did was important. She was valuable to Jesus. He needed and welcomed her service and her hospitality. It was a godly sacrifice. Her service was a good thing, even a godly thing. But sometimes it's the very things that we're good at that can become the things that trip us up. Our strengths can so quickly become our failings because we can so quickly start to do them in our own strength and for our own purpose. Martha was a good host, a great host. But on this occasion, she let her service become more important than the one she was serving. Verse 40 says that Martha had become distracted with much serving. She was going overboard. On this occasion, her hospitality had got the best of her. Instead of focusing on Jesus, she was overly focused on her much serving. In her heart of service, she wanted to go above and beyond. She wanted to do something special for Jesus. It was genuine. It was sincere. Instead of a nice meal, she kept adding more things to the meal. And then one more thing. And then just one more thing. She wanted to show Jesus out of her heart of love and appreciation for him. But she was putting undue pressure upon herself. Jesus did not have these expectations on her. Jesus was not asking her for much serving. She was putting that pressure upon herself. She was putting so much pressure on herself that Jesus says in verse 41, she was becoming anxious and troubled. She had lost sight of the fact that Jesus was in her house and instead was focused on just serving him. She stumbled over the obvious, right? She was so focused on doing that she failed to see who was sitting on her couch. She was there, but Jesus was teaching eternal truths in her house. Jesus is sitting on her couch, wanting to spend time with her, wanting her to be there with him, to learn, to be in relationship. And she's about serving, about doing more. You see, her priorities were out of order. Now, Martha's not a bad person, not at all. Martha loved Jesus and willingly and adeptly met his and the disciples' need for food and care on multiple occasions. Martha's not trying to mess things up. She's well-meaning. She wants to give Jesus a great meal. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing sinful with that. The problem isn't the meal. The problem became Martha's attitude towards the meal. The problem isn't the meal. The problem was that Martha was putting her priorities first, putting the meal, her service, over relationship with Jesus and with Mary. Her desire was to do a good thing, but her zeal was misguided. Her attempt to do a good thing was keeping her from doing the better thing, the one necessary thing. You get the feeling from the story at first, everything was all right. She's prepping and moving along, and Mary is in the living room with Jesus learning. And then it just took longer and longer than she expected. It got harder and harder than she expected, and her attitude started to change. She was distracted with her much serving. And then her spirit became upset with all the preparations yet to go. Because in her heart, she longed to be sitting there with Jesus as well. Her misplaced priority caused her to lose the joy of her service. was at first was okay, it's now become frustrating. She was starting to get discouraged. She was feeling left out. She was feeling put upon. She was feeling alone. She was feeling overwhelmed. Moms, have you ever felt that? Wives, have you ever felt that? She was feeling exasperated. So she goes to Jesus to talk with him about it, to kind of see if he would change his priority to her priority. Have you ever noticed that happens to each one of us? When our attitude struggles, when we get discouraged, when we're frustrated in life, we often go to God for help, to ask him to fix the situation by asking him to meet our priority, by asking him to change to do what we want. We've all been there. We've all had just about enough of life. We've all had just about all that we can handle, and then flows out of our mouth what's been brewing in our hearts, and in the frustration of the moment, we lose sight of the one thing that's necessary. Martha is so discouraged, she goes up to Jesus and says, "Lord, don't you care? Can't you see that I'm struggling here? Can't you see that I'm working all alone? Don't you care? I want you to do this. I'm trying to serve you. Can't you stop what you're doing and tell Mary to come help me?" The reality is that there is only one person to whom "don't you care" is never a real question. It's never an honest question. And the only person where "don't you care" is never an honest question is with Jesus Christ. He cares about her so much more than she could ever know. The situation he cares about so much more than she can even understand. It's not that Jesus didn't care, not at all, but that she felt like that. And that's real, right? Haven't we all felt that? There's never one time in our lives where Jesus doesn't care. There's never one time in our lives where Jesus' love is not surrounding us, is not supporting us. Jesus always cares. He always loves. When bad things happen or when things don't happen the way we want, we can start to feel like Jesus isn't there, that he doesn't care. But he is. He's there. And he always cares. She wants Jesus to acknowledge her special service and order Mary to come help her. She wants Jesus to fix the predicament that she's in by him helping her fulfill her priority first. Tell her to help me. Every single one of us in this room have come to Jesus telling him what to do. Telling him, this is our priority. Do this first. Martha is just like us. We do this. We get so caught up in our thing. We get so distracted from what Jesus is really trying to do. We get so anxious and troubled from our much serving for our many things. Instead of focusing on Jesus, instead of focusing on God and what he has for us, we focus on God and what we want him to do to help us. And what inevitably happens? Jesus doesn't do what we asked him to do. But instead, he lovingly redirects us. He lovingly shows us what's the one thing that's necessary. Him. Jesus himself. You see, service always comes after relationship. Service always comes as a response to relationships. Her priorities were out of line. And in her service, she was totally missing the point that Jesus is in her living room. Jesus is teaching eternal truths in her living room. In her heart, she's saying, this one thing I do. I serve Jesus. I do for Jesus. I work for Jesus. But Jesus lovingly says, that's the wrong priority right now. One thing is necessary. This is the good portion, listening and learning from me. Now is the time to be focused on relationship and learning and worship. Please note how Jesus responds to Martha in verse 41. Jesus repeats her name twice. Perhaps once to get her attention, and I think the second time to set the tone of compassion. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. I'm sure he talked with her in a very understanding and sensitive tone. Jesus responds to Martha with tenderness and with kindness and care. It's not a rebuke. He's responding with grace and with compassion and with love. So Jesus responds to us. When out of love, we have misplaced our priorities, and we start asking him to meet our priorities. Martha, Martha, you're all caught up in serving me. You've overburdened yourself with service. But there's one thing that's necessary. There's one thing that is of first importance. That's knowing me. That's learning from me. For us, it's the word. My words are more important than your service. My love is more important than your service. I don't love you just for your service, Martha. I love you. I want to be with you. I want you to be sitting here with Mary, learning in relationship with me. Oh, beloved, Jesus wants our relationship first. Jesus wants our company first. Jesus wants us to worship and learn first. And then out of those resources of our vibrant, growing relationship with him, then our service overflows. Jesus doesn't love you because of your service to him. He loves you because of his service to you. He loves you because of his sacrifice and his giving to you. Jesus is not looking for you to work for him as much as he's looking for you to let him work in you and for you and through you, working out his will and his word in our lives. Martha was missing out on the intimacy of the moment. She had lost sight of the fact that Jesus was in the living room. This one thing that is necessary above all things, having a humble, growing, loving, vibrant, intimate relationship with Jesus. Maybe Jesus is saying your name today. Maybe he's saying it twice to you so you can hear the compassion, the calling of his voice. Maybe he's kindly and tenderly saying to you right now, stop putting what you think I want you to do first and start putting me first. Out of our humble and dependent relationship with Christ flows our humble and dependent service for him. First comes what is necessary. Relationship and worship and love and acceptance and grace. Then flows our service and our sacrifice and our giving and a loving expression. For out of a wellspring of love flows our obedience. David in Psalm 27:4 says, one thing I've asked of the Lord, one thing will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One thing, he says, one highest thing David exclaims for, to worship the Lord, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to get to know him, to inquire in his temple. Now, I want to take an exit ramp off of the sermon for a moment. So we're leaving the highway, we're taking the exit ramp. I want to go on these practical thoughts that I think can be very helpful for us, but are not at all the point of the passage. So on a very practical note, it's Mother's Day, right? So let me say this to each of us in this room. Help her, Right? Help her. Don't you just want to jump in the story sometime and go run in the kitchen and help Martha out? Now, Jesus is teaching a very serious, important spiritual lesson. We've been talking about that. Jesus is teaching in the living room, and Martha had her priorities out of order. He comes first. His teaching comes first. Then comes our service. That's the bottom line lesson of our passage. But here's a practical thought, just purely perspective. How many times is Jesus going to be in your living room? Never. That specific scenario of what we just read is never going to play out in our homes. Rather, the reality is, what's going to be happening in our homes? We're going to be sitting on the couch watching a football game. The kids are going to be playing on their electronic devices. And where's mom? Serving. Where's mom? Sacrificing. Where's mom? Where's your wife? Feeling taken advantage of again. Where is she? She's frustrated. She's feeling hurt. What should we do? This isn't a hard answer, right? What do you do? Get up and help her. Get off the couch, put down an electronic device, go and help your wife. Go and help your mom. There is nobody in your life who has sacrificed more for you than your mom or your wife. It's just the truth. There's nobody in your life who has given more to help you than your mom or your wife. Get up and help her. If there's anyone who feels more put upon than a mom, they work so hard, they serve lovingly day in and day out with very little recognition. And don't just be reactive, but be proactive. What can you do, husband? Think, what can you do to demonstrably show to your wife your love? Think about it and then write it down. What about you, children? What can you do in action with your hands and your feet moving, showing your mom how much you love her and care for her? Now, let's not forget all the other women in our lives, right? Our aunts, our grandmothers, our sister. My eldest sister was so important in my life. The sacrifice that she made for me. We have to remember these and honor it and offer in return our service and sacrifice for them, for all that they've done for us. How can we show in practical ways our love? Sometimes, like that kid at the beginning of the story, we don't appreciate the worth, the value, the sacrifice that the women in our lives have made for us. And most times, they never get the recognition they deserve. We just might not realize the incredible value of the service. But not today, right? Not today and not in this moment. Because today, right now, on this Mother's Day, we exclaim together, we love you. Thank you. Thank you. And we also say, we're going to do better getting off the couch. We're going to do better putting our electronic devices down. We're going to do better in recognizing the service and sacrifice you give to us and actually help out. Okay, now we're taking the exit ramp back onto the sermon and to the point of the passage before us. See, Mary had the right focus. Mary had chosen the good portion. Mary was doing the one thing that was necessary. Where was Mary? Verse 39 says, she's at the Lord's feet, listening to his teaching. It's fascinating. We encounter Mary of Bethany at least three times in the Bible. Here's the first time in our passage today, we find her at the feet of Jesus, listening and learning. Mary's attention was riveted on the most powerful, most clear, most loving, insightful teacher who ever spoke. The second time we see Mary is at the raising of her brother Lazarus. In John chapter 11, she encounters Jesus before he had raised her brother. And in verse 32 it says, now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and asked him a question. The third time we see Mary is in John chapter 12, at the beginning of Jesus' last week before his crucifixion. He again is at dinner in Bethany, and the scripture tells us Martha is serving. Lazarus is at the table with Jesus. Verse 3 says, Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. We see Mary of Bethany three times in the Bible. All three times she's at Jesus' feet, learning and asking and worshiping. The posture of her body expressing the posture of her heart. The posture of her body expressing the posture of her heart, willingly learning at his feet, expectingly asking at his feet, abundantly expressing worship at his feet. See, we can learn from Mary. The servant of Christ loves to hear the word of Christ. It's the word that is the sustenance of our souls. John 14, 15 and 22 says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. See, love precedes keeping. Love precedes obedience. Love motivated keeping. Love motivates obedience. Mary was at his feet listening to the teaching of Jesus. Is God's word, is the teaching of Jesus, is it that precious to you? Do you love it? Do you sit at the feet of Jesus through his word in anticipation of learning? In anticipation of growing and in changing? In anticipation of worship through the listening and the doing of the word? Is it that precious to you? I mean, just think, the Bible at his feet. The second time we see Mary, we saw that the servant of Christ loves to expectantly ask in prayer to Christ. Mary falls at his feet and asks a question. Expectant prayer is part of a vibrant relationship with Jesus. That great verse in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find help in time of need. How can we pray so boldly? How can someone pray so expectantly? Because of Jesus, because of who he is and because of what he has done, because of his love for us, we're able to come to him and to fall down at his feet and in prayer ask expectantly. The third time we see Mary, we saw that the servant of Christ loves to abundantly worship Christ. She took a pound of expensive ointment made of pure nard and anointed Jesus' feet. In John 12, 1, it says that Mary did this 6 days before the Passover, the day right before the triumphal entry, only a week before Jesus' death. This was a sacrificial act of worship. This was a demonstrable demonstration of her love and devotion. This was an acknowledgement of his messiahship. This was an acknowledgement of his lordship of her life. All three times, Mary at his feet. All done from a posture of submission to the lordship of Christ. All three, the good portion. Learning, praying, worshiping. Folks, don't you see? What Jesus wants for us is the good portion. What he wants for us is the best. Putting him first gives us the good portion of life, real, abundant, eternal life. Putting him first gives us the good portion of life, learning at his feet, praying at his feet, worshiping at his feet. Where are you in your life? And you're listening to his word. Where are you in talking with him and in worshiping him? Church is an important time to do that. Church is God's designed place for you to listen to his word. Church is God's designed place for you to come and to talk to Him and prayer together and for us to worship Him together. It's critically important that church be a high priority in our lives as we seek to live out God's highest priority for us, to know Him and to be in relationship with Him. But church, as important of a meal as it is, as scrumptious as a banquet as it is, it's not enough spiritual food to carry us all week. So where's the place in your personal life, your Monday through Saturday life, where you're listening to His Word, where you're talking with Him in prayer, where you're worshiping Him? See, our challenge today is to make God's priority our priority, to do the one thing that's necessary, to sit at His feet and to learn from Him. Remember, that kid didn't realize what he had. Remember, he had all those valuable coins, but he didn't appreciate their worth. He didn't appreciate their value. He had them in his hand, but he didn't understand. Could that be us? Could we just not realize what we have? Have we perhaps become too familiar? It's just a Bible, right? Got a bunch of them. Had them our whole lives. Could it be we don't appreciate its worth? Could it be that we don't understand its value? Could it be the very thing we're holding in our hands? We don't understand. It's like sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing Him teach eternal truths. Jesus said that Mary, sitting at His feet, listening to His teaches, had chosen the good portion, the one thing that's necessary. How about you? How about me? Have we chosen the good portion? Have we chosen the one thing that's necessary? What priorities do you need to change? Do you need to realign so that your priorities match God's priorities? Let's pray. Oh, Father, we come to You now so thankful for Your Word. This few verses, this incident, this story of Mary and Martha and You powerfully teaching us about Your Son and our Savior. Powerfully teaching us that He's the one thing that's necessary. He is the good portion. His will, His plan, His purposes, His life. Lord, help us today to recognize that and to understand that and to realign our priorities. Let's take a few moments now as the instruments play. Pray yourself. Pray what the Holy Spirit's leading you. Perhaps you need to write down something. Some change, some challenge the Spirit has given to you. Right now, take a few moments and reflect and apply God's Word to your life. Father, we do pray now as we are applying these things to our lives that You would make us a blessing to someone today. Because You're changing us. Because we're following You. In Jesus' name, amen.